banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time, the Legion of Doom, dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
This is Comic Culture.
Challenge of your brain.
The radio show that champions the local comic book shop. You're listening. Go ahead, Chris, interrupt me.
It's too late now.
You're listening to CFMU McMaster Radio. By the way,
yes,
CFMU McMaster Radio was awarded Hamilton's best
station of the year.
Station of the year.
Yeah.
I was going to say comic shop.
Comic shop of the year.
Again this year, and I got a letter from Mayor Giuliani.
Is he even mayor anymore? I don't think so.
Yeah. I think he was mayor of New York actually.
Yeah, I think anyway. You're right.
And he said it's all because of you guys. Yeah.
That's
all,
great.
It's all on you. So we're very happy for CFMU. Congratulations, CFMU McMaster Radio. And where else are we on? We're on
podcast on iTunes.
iTunes.
And possibly Get the Point Radio.
Yeah,
not too sure.
And comicbookdaily.com. And we're here every week to deliver the goods.
The goods.
Okay.
What are exactly the goods? What are we delivering?
Wait, you know what? We just deliver them.
Oh, okay.
And people
we don't ask questions.
Up. It's like a surprise.
It's true.
Yeah. And I've totally lost my way. And I'm Walter DeRaglia.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And if Chris let me say it, I am an Overstreet Price Guide advisor. And as always, we are your smooth operators.
You kept on saying that I was interrupting. I didn't know if you were done or not. So
I'm done.
Okay. So
all right. Hey, listen, we've been off for a while. I don't know if you could tell, but you know, we're not as smooth as we used to be in terms of our segues and in terms of our interplay. But we're joined, as always, by our illustrious producer and world-famous producer, Shecky Feldstein, to my right.
World-famous.
Absolutely.
Well, someone knows about me somewhere, I'm sure.
Somewhere.
Yeah. As always, we're here to deliver an hour of comic book news, comic book entertainment, and championing your local comic book shop.
You're sure about that?
I'm positive.
Okay, well, I'm not so sure, but you know, we're going to give it our best shot anyways. One of the things for our new listeners, if you've never listened to the show before, I don't know if this is such a good time to start, but if you've never listened to the show before, we do like to talk about new comics that are appearing at your newsstand this week. And normally we have a sponsor for New This Week. Do we have one this week there, Shecky?
Why would this week be like unlike any other?
Because we haven't done a show for what feels like a year or so. You know,
just
you never
because
know.
The two of you are tripping over your tongues.
Tripping.
Like it's tripwire. How about we just continue with the sponsor?
Sure.
Just continue?
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So New This Week, Walter, is brought to you by the Niagara Falls Comic Con, where at the end of the day you can hit the poker tables still dressed as your favorite Pokemon.
Oh.
You know.
I like that
you
idea.
You know, I want to go in Saturday night to the casino with a camera. I want to see how many cosplayers.
That'd be great.
Went into the casino and all those kind of hardcore gamblers are looking, what the heck's going on
here? Yeah.
Hey.
What's with all these funny shows going on?
Furry things walking around.
You know what I want to do? I want to go in about 5 minutes after you without a camera because I'm sure you're going to get tackled by some kind of security guards for taking photos and counting cards or something.
No, that's so true. Yeah, that's so true.
Counting cards.
Yeah. Listen, let's talk about New This Week.
We should probably.
We probably should. Every week we'll go through all the different, at least a smattering of different comics that are coming out at your local newsstands.
Or comic book shops.
That's true. Yeah. That too. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Whatever.
That's what we're here for.
You know what?
Story about it.
You know what?
Keep
what,
going.
Why are you
gonna
be like
great.
That? Why?
Keep it going.
So, first one up, Bizarro number one by DC Comics.
Ah.
Now that Convergence is done, we're going to see a whole bunch of new kinds of comics coming out. We'll talk about that later. But this is Bizarro number one by Corson Duarte and Pentazis.
Corson Duarte. Chris, what was the first appearance of Bizarro?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That is not not a question that I can answer.
Superboy number 68.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, way back in the late 50s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, has he always been like...
Just don't ask me any questions, okay?
Sorry. I thought you were Overstreet Price Guy advisor.
I am.
So can you not advise me on that?
Not right now.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you're dead to me. All right.
Keep going, Chris. You're doing well here.
Let's keep going here.
This bit is working. I can feel it.
Action Comics number 41 by Greg Pak. Cooter and Maury. But what I really like about this book is got a cover by our good Canadian fellow Darwin Cook. And I believe a lot of the covers this week have Joker cover. And I think it's Joker Month, actually.
Joker Month, right on. Darwin Cook. Love it. Hey, I forgot to mention Bizarro number one and Action number 41 are available at your local comic book shop today.
Exactly. Okay, so now what else we got here? Oh, I also want to talk about Justice League number 41.
Sure do.
Because this is the start of the Dark Side War.
Whoa.
And so this is a new series, miniseries, that's being heralded by Geoff Johns in the Justice League number 41. And so this is where it all starts. So if you do want to get started on Dark Side War, that's the one to do it.
This is a good jump on Justice League. I like Geoff Johns. Geoff Johns weaves... quite the tale.
He does.
Yeah, and
He is actually one of the co-writers slash producers for the Flash TV TV series.
Yeah. Oh, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
Geoff Johns. Hey, Justice League number 41, The Dark Side War. Available at your local comic book shop.
Now, I want to bring up one more DC book here, and this is Batman.
Why not, Chris? Go ahead.
This is Batman Beyond number one. Now, normally, Batman Beyond started as a TV animated series, and it was meant to be like a kids kind of show, and this was brought out sort of just after the original Batman the Animated Series, and now we've got Batman Beyond, but this is more of a serious type of Batman Beyond book. It's not the one that's kind of meant for kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a futuristic Batman comic, but it's not like your kiddie one that came out years ago.
Right.
This is a mainstay for more adult readers.
It's a serious one.
Serious.
Serious series. Hey, Batman Beyond number one, available at your local comic book shop today.
And now we've also got Armor Wars. Armor Wars number one. Now, Marvel on the
Armor Wars.
On the heels of Secret Wars. There's all these kind of crazy series
lots
coming
of wars
out.
Happening and, after
and we'll,
Secret
and
Wars.
We'll talk about it later on, but Armor Wars number one is coming out today as well.
Can't wait for Tug of Wars.
Tug Wars.
Hey. I saw that movie last year.
Did you?
Year,
yeah.
It was at the guy's stag.
Oh, yeah. Well, it must have been a very good stag if you saw Tug Wars.
I don't want to talk about it.
Future Imperfect number one. Now, Future Imperfect was a book that came out by Peter David years ago, and this has the Hulk in the future, and he's known as Maestro, and this is sort of another Future Imperfect comic by the same. But it's good because it's by the same writer, still by Peter David.
Maestro, Future Imperfect number one. That looks cool. I like that cover.
Yeah,
and Greg Land.
Yep,
available at your local comic book shop today.
And lastly, but not leastly, we've got Secret Wars number three by Jonathan Hickman, Asad Rabich, your buddy.
Asad.
I don't want to talk too much about it right now, but great series that's coming out. Number three comes out on your news on your local comic book stands this week.
Yeah, Asad knows how to draw. Secret Wars number three, available at a local comic book shop. Chris, and you picked what, two of them? Three?
Let me show
you
three. 18, yeah. 18. Yeah.
That's just a smattering of the stuff that's coming out today. There's like, I don't know, a truckload of comics at your local comic book shop. We encourage all the listeners to head in to their local comic book shop today and peruse the new this week rack.
Perfect. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's have a quick musical interlude here.
But before the quick musical, we're going to do a quick interjection, okay?
Oh, interjection.
So
Shecky likes to interject.
I personally want to go lay it out on the wire there.
On the wire.
Yeah.
Sure.
On the wire. That we haven't been at this for, what, a year or so now?
Yeah, close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I did put it out on the wire and the webs.
The interwebs.
To a fan named Chris.
A fan who
called Shecky out by name.
Oh, boy.
Said, Shecky.
Called him out.
You're the meat and potatoes of the show. You're the absolute heart. You know?
Yeah.
When can I hear you again? And
Chris,
I said, you know what?
You're the gravy.
Yeah.
Hey-oh.
I said, you can catch us this coming Wednesday. And then you made me a liar, Chris. You got ill, violently ill. And so it's a public shaming, and I'm trying to deflect the blame to you is what I'm doing.
Well, yeah, I was sick last week. That's true. Yeah. And in fact, I even, you know what?
You don't look well. Have you recovered?
Looking kind of pale.
I was feeling rather chipper a minute ago, okay. But...
No, you look fine then.
last week I was ill. For the first time ever, I had to take a sick day.
Wow.
I know, right? Wow. So... but I'm feeling much better. But thanks for looking after my health.
Oh, no.
I'm happy that you're really concerned about my health.
Absolutely.
And not so much about the show.
Can you take sick days from wives? Is that something you can do?
No. You know what? Clearly he's not married.
Sorry to hear that, Chris.
Clearly, yeah. No.
All right. Well, anyway.
That was quite the question.
Yeah. Anyway. To the music.
Are you done? That was it? That was the whole bit?
What do you mean? But I was apologizing to my favorite fan.
Oh,
Chris,
your favorite fan? You don't even know the guy.
That this bum in front of me, Chris, was
met.
Sick.
Pardon me. Okay, all right then.
Anyway,
okay. Listen, music, please.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
All right. What do you got for us?
Little Kranz.
Nice.
That was the Mighty West Montgomery on.
Do you like that one?
Hitting those licks,
nice.
I wish it was, but that's some Kranz right there.
That's some good Kranz.
And I know that you're always craving for Kranz.
Craving for Kranz.
Who ain't?
Yeah, it's true.
All right, what do we got? Where are we? I'm afraid to ask.
well, we're going to start talking about industry news.
Okay.
And Shecky, do you have a sponsor for industry news?
Absolutely. Industry news brought to you by the Niagara Falls Comic Con, where it's the only licensed convention for liquor, and they even bring it to you in a golf cart, no less.
Thank goodness. You know what? Let's talk about the Niagara Falls Comic Con right now.
Huh?
Let's talk about the Niagara Falls Comic Con right now.
Let's talk about the Niagara Falls Comic Con right now.
I think I just said that.
Yeah, we're going to talk.
Is there an echo in here?
We're heading out to the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Yes,
and you, Chris, will be there this Saturday.
I will be there this Saturday signing autographs.
And Shecky and I will be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yep,
at the Copacabana Room.
What will you be singing this year?
Well, it's a new set that we're working out. So we're hoping everybody to come down and say hi.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what we want to do is talk about the Niagara Falls Comic Con in general.
Right.
It is grown into quite the show.
It has.
Pop culture enthusiasts will love the show. TV fans, movie fans, comic fans, pop culture fans, there is something for everybody at the show.
There really is. Now, this is a three-day show, and this is at the Scotiabank Center, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah, right at Stanley Street. They're right near the conglump of all the big hotels.
Conglump.
In Niagara Falls.
Right, okay. Yeah. And now, it starts a little later on the Friday, correct? It starts at like 4 o'clock or something like that on the Friday?
Usually the three-day shows usually do that because... The small tables, the artists and people like that have to move in.
Right.
Friday morning, they have to allot them time.
Okay, right? So if you're going to go down on Friday, now I believe it's $25 to get in for the Friday, mm-hmm. but it's $35 on the Saturday yeah. and then $30 on the Sunday.
Right.
So now, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, if you want to, if there's something that you absolutely have to have, probably a good idea to go down on Friday, right?
Yeah. You know what, though? I'm going to say this about the Niagara Falls Comic Con. And you know what, Chris, you and I can talk about this. We you know, we're well versed at cons.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this about most cons is I don't know if they're, you know, like they're not the place to go and look for that book that you need anymore.
Right.
That's online now.
Right.
So in the old days, you know, you went to the con.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
And you wanted to get there on Friday to check out all the dealers with the old books, to yep. get those books that you wanted.
Yep.
But, you know, at the Niagara Falls Comic Con, honestly, how many dealers are going to have choice old books?
Well, okay, so this is the thing. So somebody was I was talking to somebody about this show, and I said, and they were asking me how big it is. And I said, well, you know, it's a great show. Don't get me wrong. It's a really great show, and I really like the show.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily the show to go to if you're going strictly for old books.
Right.
Because aside from a couple of vendors, there's mm-hmm. not a lot of guys that have just old books there. Like mm-hmm. Metropolis isn't there, mm-mm. Harley Yee's not there, mm-mm. you know, Mile High's not there. Like a lot of the big time, big game, big book guys,
yeah.
they're not there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be there.
Well, you know, Paradise Comics will be there, Big B yeah. will be there. And, you know, we both have, and there's a couple other guys that have, you know, a half decent selection of old Golden Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age comics.
Right.
But, you know, which is fine. We'll have other people coming in perusing our stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you and I have, and Shrekki, we've been to, let's say, the Chicago Con.
Yeah.
There aren't three dealers at the Chicago Con that have stuff. There are, you know, 103 dealers yeah, that have right. stuff at
yeah,
the
that's,
Chicago
that's
Con.
One of those shows where you go up there and you think, I wonder if I'll get a chance to see an Amazing Fantasy 15,
yeah.
and one guy will have five of them.
Right. And then the next guy three aisles down will have two of them, and then you'll
yeah.
see, you'll probably see, I don't know, 20, 30 of them at that show
right.
at eight or nine different tables.
Right.
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 Whereas here, you might not see one.
No. Right? Yeah. You probably won't see one.
So, but you know what? The good news is people don't go to these shows
now,
to hunt down old
now,
comics.
No, they go for all their pop culture stuff.
That's right.
They're getting, you know, still comic book related, but graphic novels. You know, they're getting stuff that's more source material for kids that, you know, and then they're also getting costumes and vinyl pops and just those sort of fun things.
Right. Right. And that's what, and I think that's what comic book shows are becoming now, right?
Right.
They're becoming more pop culture oriented type shows.
Yep.
So for example, at the Niagara Falls Comic Con, we've got David Hasselhoff is going to be there, The Hoff will be there. Sean Astin, so in case you're not too sure who Sean Astin
is,
Rudy, as well as being Sam from Lord of the Rings, Samwise,
and
Gamgee.
Mikey and the Goonies. And this is also exciting because
is that the guy in the jogging shorts in Montreal? We,
that's the one that
okay,
we came across
right,
in our
right,
hotel
right.
foyer there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
I thought he
story.
Was a vagabond bum. Hey, get out of here, you bum. Hey, yeah. that's what's his name?
Sean Astin.
Sean Astin. And then somebody said, that's Sean Astin.
I think it was me who said that. Yeah.
And I go,
you said the guy from the Addams Family?
Yeah. Right. Woo.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. I got to polish up on my pop culture.
Yeah, you really should. Yeah. Well, here's one that you'll know because Cassandra Peterson.
Don't know who.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Wait a minute.
Also known as.
Let me guess. Elvira.
Yes.
My, oh, Myra. Elvira.
Mistress of the Dark herself.
Nice.
She's going to be there.
She, of course, of the bodacious
figure.
Figure.
Yes.
Wow.
Billy Dee Williams is going to be
out.
There. He's going to be there at the show. So,
he's starting that movie Hit back in 1972.
Oh, see, I don't know that one.
Uh-huh.
I know he was in Brian Song.
Right.
With James
Caan, yeah.
About
that was a great,
great football movie.
Yeah, that was who the heck was that guy?
That was
Gale Sayers.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I love that one.
Yep. And then of course he was Lando Calrissian.
Oh, right? Yeah. I remember
yeah.
that.
Had a little role called
Lando Calrissian. Yeah.
But more importantly, I shouldn't say more importantly, but also in addition to those guys, you're going to have a couple of guys from The Walking Dead, including Scott Wilson, who played the old
guy.
Linda Blair,
Get out from hold on, don't tell me.
Yeah.
From Exorcist.
Yes. Oh, so wonderful. Linda Blair is going to be there.
Fear the priest.
Now these are kind of
that
old.
Was the demon speaking through Linda Blair.
Exactly, right. Now those are older guests. Now for some of you younger guys, Manu Bennett is going to be there, and he currently is in Arrow, and he's in Spartacus. He plays Deathstroke, the Terminator, in Arrow.
Right.
And then you've got, but you've got some other guys. You've got, it seems to be like a Goonies kind of thing going on.
Yeah,
because
that's what I was going to say. The two mob boss Fratellis there.
Yeah, yeah.
They're in it, right?
They're in it as well, and as well as Sean Astin, right?
Right. So. And all three of them, like between Sean Astin and them, they've all gone on to lead, you know, successful acting careers ever since the Goonies.
Are they doing like a little Goonies reunion?
I think the con promoters are trying to hype it a little bit, like, hey, bring your memorabilia and get all
your
three
Goonies
of them
stuff,
to sign
right,
it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now all they need is to bring Corey Feldman back for another.
Oh man, that's right.
Man, you remember
a couple
his lineup?
Years ago.
He looked like Michael Jackson. He had like the Thriller gloves, like the white gloves and the fedora,
and
everything
he had a huge
on.
Lineup.
He did, yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, but Goonies fans, right?
Yeah,
yeah, I guess.
And also, just you know,
Lost
Crash
Boys
and Burn fan, I guess.
Yeah, Crash and Burn fan, Trainwreck fans. Yeah. I got to slow down and have a look.
But here's something interesting, and here's somebody that I have never seen at a show before. And they should probably do it more often. Patricia Quinn. Now you're not going to know who she is because
she knows who she is.
Who?
I don't know.
Exactly. From the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Now, there's a franchise
that they
should probably have more guests from that.
Yeah.
Because there's a huge cult following to the Rocky Horror
Picture
Show.
You're bringing to the booth, Checky? I'm bringing used toasters. Selling like hotcakes over there.
Now, Shecky, here's a guy that I know you're going to probably want to get his autograph.
Here's a guy.
Yeah. Terry Kaiser.
Hey, there we go. Weekend at Bernie's.
Exactly.
Bernie!
The guy that played the dead guy at Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, that's great. But that movie, honestly, that was one of my... I don't know why my parents showed me it when I was like five, but it quickly became like my favorite movie. That and the second one.
That explains a lot about Checky, by the way.
Yeah.
My taste in terrible film. Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. But that was great. You know what? I would actually love to meet that guy. You know that it was actually him, other than the stunts where he was thrown out of buildings and run over by things and whatever. But it was actually him pretending to be a dead body for the entire film.
Yep, yep. Yeah. So true.
Crazy.
Wow.
Anyway, you know what? I could go on and on. There's lots of great guests at this show.
But I do want to emphasize on the point we made right before going into this, is that you can tell it's a pop culture show because 99% of these people have never touched a comic book related format of any kind.
Comics?
Comics?
Yeah.
What?
Huh? Yeah, you know what, though? Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, so if you are going for the comic book guests, though.
Uh-huh. There are comic book guests?
Believe it or not, there are.
Oh, you're going to make a liar of me, too, huh, Chris?
Well, I'm not trying to. It's
this
just,
is the second time, though.
You make it so easy.
Is Art Balthazar going to be there?
You know what? No, I wish. He needs to come to that show.
He needs to come to the show.
Jerry Conway. Old time.
He used to be a country western singer.
That's Conway Twitter.
Twitter, yeah.
Twitter. He invented Twitter?
Wow.
Conway Twitter.
Conway Twitter, he wrote that song, Don't Cry on My Back, Honey, or Rust My Spurs.
Is that really a song?
Yeah, it was a good song. Yeah.
Sounds like you just made it up.
No, I swear, it's a good song.
All right.
That's the beauty of that's the beauty about most country songs. It sounds like you just made them up.
Did you just say crunchy songs?
Well, you know. I was thinking about cereal.
After he gets through with them, they're crunchy.
Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti will be there.
All right.
Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook will
Darwin
be there.
Darwin Cook's going to be there.
I heard, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I heard he's surly.
You know what? I wouldn't
Darwin.
I wouldn't say he's
don't
surly.
Be surly
but
if
I think
I come
he,
over
I think he gets a little overwhelmed by the crowds.
Really?
You know? Cause
really
he
overwhelmed
tired.
By the crowds? That's
I think
his
so.
Excuse?
I think so. Because I've met him a couple times. The first time I met him, he was very nice.
You know what? I bet you're going to find him with S.H. Ribbage drinking.
drinking vodka?
Vodka in a hotel room, bar somewhere.
Is that before or after?
With the little, no, with the little do not cross tape. Police tape.
No,
aside.
It says do not cross Walt.
Dead to me, both of them. I'm just kidding. I don't know Darwin Cook. I heard he's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think he gets a little overwhelmed by the line sometimes, but super nice guy. Always willing to give autographs and sketches and stuff like that if he can.
We'll test that out this weekend.
Now, here's a guest I'm really happy is coming to this show. Now, this means, you know, nothing to you, really, but mm-hmm. Larry Hama, okay? So Larry Hama, and he's there.
Hama Barbera. He drew the Flintstones, right?
So dumb. Sometimes.
MC Hama?
Don't hurt him, Larry.
No. Larry Hama is pretty much the creator of G.I. Joe. The G.I. Joe that I grew up with Cobra and all that, he wrote a lot of the episodes on almost every single of the G.I. Joe comics, created a lot of the characters. He's going to be there, so if you're a G.I. Joe fan, you have to go to meet this guy.
Nice.
But yeah, there's lots of other comic book guests who are going to the show, and so I highly recommend coming.
You know, it's a great show. It's
you know what? As Shecky said earlier, it's licensed. So you know what? You can walk around the show.
The great equalizer.
Absolutely.
Walk around the show bombed.
I don't know. I'm nervous. I don't want to go see the Hoff. Hey, buddy, check that girl out in the cart over there. Just flag her down. You'll be fine.
You know what it really has become now? It's combining the best two, you know, everyday Joe passions, which is golf.
And booze.
And comic books.
Oh, true. And comic books, sorry.
Because I'm saying, you got the cart girl at golf. Uh-huh. Now you got the cart girl at the comic convention.
Yeah,
you know?
So true.
Dangerous. Yeah. But no, it's good. I mean, we got anyway, I like the fact that it's a Canadian show.
Yes.
You know, I love Canadian shows. Actually, it was top 10 list out on things you'll overhear at a Canadian show.
Oh, nice.
You might not overhear at a U.S. show or
okay.
a British
like
show.
Like what? What
is
what
it
got?
Like, hey, that Chris Owen guy's overrated.
Well, yeah, you'll hear that.
Yeah, okay.
But you'll hear that anyway. No, so here are some things that you might hear if you're at a Canadian comic shop. So if you're at the if you're at the Niagara Falls Comic Con this weekend, and you're walking down the aisle, you might overhear people talking, and you might overhear these lines.
All right, like what?
How about them Jays?
Yeah,
really from Niagara?
Yeah, you might hear that.
Boy, this is a slow start to this bit.
Is that the best you got? I hope that's number 10.
I guess a lot of Torontonians visit.
I thought I'd start off strong.
No, you thought wrong.
Hey, hi, Richard.
Richard Cumley.
Richard Cumley goes to a lot of Canadian Comic Cons. Yeah, yeah. So he'll be at this one, too.
I look forward to seeing him again.
Is he going to be at the booth this time, or is he have his own
booth?
He'll
be at the Bigby booth this time. Okay. Right. So I thought I'd throw a joke in, but also plug the fact that he'd be
hey, am I working the Bigby booth this year?
Not a chance.
Yeah, okay. So
okay, what have we got? Hey, so you'll hear this. Hey, who's doing the Hortons run?
Yeah, that's true. You'll
do that at the Canadian Comic Con. Boy, I don't have much after that, boy.
was that your winner?
Yeah, that was my I thought I'd hit that early. What else are you hear at the Big – oh, boy, that Big B booth is the best booth here.
You might hear that.
No, actually, that was from the things I wish I'd hear at the Comic Con.
I
just stole that from another list, actually.
Hey, I know one that you're going to hear.
What's that?
Where's Walt?
Yeah. You know what? You'll hear that from Mark. you know what you'll hear? You'll hear, do you have this? Do you have this in the French tickler?
Oh, what?
Because it's bilingual.
Oh, right.
So,
right.
So you'll hear that, right? You know what you'll hear, too? You walk down the street and you go, and you'll, hey, is that a guy? But you'll hear that at any con, I think.
Wait, what?
What?
Well, you see, cosplay.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
If I have to draw a picture, it's not worth it, really.
That is true.
Yeah. You know what you hear at the Niagara Comic Con? You'll hear stuff like, hey, is Mike Babcock signing?
Crickets. Crickets, Walt. Crickets.
Woo! Okay, so you're walking down the aisle. You might hear this at the Niagara Comic Con. Captain Canuck rocks!
Well, you might hear that. You might.
See, that was the second plug I tried to sneak in, but I was hoping it'd actually be funny, too, but it wasn't. Really.
You might hear that. Mm-hmm. Might.
Walking around the Niagara Comic Con, you know what you'll hear? You'll hear a couple guys go, hey, how's it going, eh?
Did Shecky write this?
Hey, now. I come up with great original material.
This is not your best work.
I know. You know what you'll hear? You'll hear a couple guys will talk and they'll say, hey, you know what? 40 Creek is so much better than Crown Royal.
Is that because they're standing next to us?
Yeah, is that Chris and my conversation for most of the day?
Yeah.
I was going to say that. And you know what else you hear? One more, my final thing you'll
all
hear.
Right.
I mean, you'll hear so much more, but you'll hear it. Wow, check out her beaver tail.
Hey!
I had one half winner there.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, listen, my point is this. Canadian Comic-Cons are a little unique to U.S. Comic-Cons. And they have a different feel. They have a different flavor.
They do. That's true.
And I don't know. I don't know what that feel and flavor is, but they do definitely have.
Maple
I don't know.
Syrup.
The American ones are more
showy.
Showy. More flea market-y. Even,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Canadian ones are a little bit more, I don't know, maybe even organized.
Yeah, probably a little
and,
bit.
And I don't know. And there's no excuse for the listenership not to head out.
I completely agree.
And you know, we're expecting everybody to come by the booth and say, man, that Canadian con things you'll hear bit was lame. Holy Christ.
You know why this might be the worst?
I mean, I've read lethargic lad comics that were funnier.
Ouch.
Ew.
You know why this might be the lamest one, Walt? Because it might be the most true and sincere of what people might say, because you're paying half your staff to say most of those things.
Yeah,
that
enough.
Is true.
Fair enough.
You know what? Let's. I think we need a palate cleanser.
You think we need it after that?
Yeah, absolutely. We need some sort of Krantz or something to help us out here with that.
We got something for you.
Yeah, all right. Okay, what do you got for us? Besides Walt's phone going off.
Well, phone?
Yeah, it's your phone. Yeah.
It'll stop ringing.
Why'd you bring that in the studio? You know what? You know, as is true fashion, Walt is our Lone Ranger after all.
Professional. Yes. All right, let's hear some music.
The Lone Ranger. With a speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high of silver, the Lone Ranger. With his fearless Indian friend Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lone Ranger rides again. And where are we now, guys?
Let's, you know what? Let's have a mailbag. We do have a letter from mailbag, so let's
okay, Vanna.
We will segue
spin me a letter.
A sponsor right into a mailbag for you, okay? So, mailbag brought to you by who other than the Niagara Falls Comic Con?
I hear they're good.
Where for enough money, you might be able to get David Hasselhoff to reenact a Baywatch scene with Elvira.
Oh, whoa. I'd like to have Hasselhoff reenact a hamburger scene on the kitchen floor. I don't remember he was filmed by someone, like I think his kids.
Kids filmed him.
He was completely drunk trying to eat a hamburger.
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
That was great.
Is he the one that yelled at his kids on the phone?
I think so. Yeah.
Is that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mailbag. What we got for us there, Shaq?
All right. So this week's mailbag, which we haven't done in a while. Uh-huh. They've been piling up. Backlogged. So, hey, gang. As part of spring cleaning, I'm being forced by the old ball and chain, a.k.a. my lovely wife, to thin the collection. Problem is, I have such a variety from Spidey 1 to FF52 to stuff like Micronauts number 1 and other non-movie number 1s that I hope to get picked up into a movie. What's safe to keep and what should I sell off? Remember, I'd like to keep the ones that I can retire on. Mel from Smithville.
Yeah.
Mel.
Everybody always wants that. Everybody always says, well, I only want to get rid of my crap.
Yeah. I only want to get rid of the stuff that I can afford.
And you know what? Here's the problem is you don't know what's crap now. Because
that is true, yeah.
Because here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
You know, your FF52, which is the first Black Panther, that price is really strong now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might want to get rid of that.
Yeah.
So why get rid of a Micronauts for $2?
Yeah.
When you can keep it, because it's not going to bring you anything.
No.
And you can keep it, and they announce some sort of micro – in those Easter Bunny things at the end of a movie, they can have a Micronaut come out, and all of a sudden it's worth, you know, $3.
Well, look at Howard Well, look at Howard.
That's a 50% increase.
Oh, that's true. A good margin.
Yeah, I don't think FF52 is going to go up 50%.
No, you're right. Now, let me look at Howard the Duck. Right. So Howard the Duck was a character that no one gave two craps about for many years.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he appears at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy, his first appearance shoots up in value.
Shoots up in value. So. Okay.
So that's looking at characters that aren't, say, A-list necessarily. You know, arguably. So say for the FF52. That's kind of reached its peak. The movie's coming.
I don't even know if
pipe.
It's reached its peak. So here's the thing about FF52.
Here's the thing.
When Black Panther the movie hits, will it stick?
Right.
That's what you got to ask yourself.
Right. Right.
Because then there's still room.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now you're speculating not only you've done well because you've held the comic and the movie has been announced and there's speculation around the movie. But now there's that catch-22. You know, Ant-Man's in the same situation this summer, whereas, you know, do you get those early comics and it's a massive hit and kids everywhere are reading Ant-Man and they're loving the character, and all of a sudden that book has another 50% to go up, or it's a whole hummer.
Or tanks,
and then it's a Punisher type thing, and then it stays at where it is, or maybe loses 10% because the hype is gone. So you don't know. There's still that kind of, because we talked about this before, and the funny part about comic books right now is that the values in the old days, you know, from the 1950s when collecting clubs arose, into the 2000s. It was the elitist collectors that determined values of comic books.
Right.
Through price guides and through conventions and through whatever. I would say the first major, major shock to that equilibrium happened with Iron Man, the first movie. Because the comic book scene and crowd told us up until 2008 or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
That Iron Man was a B-lister.
Right, right, right. Right.
The throngs of movie-going public told us he was an A-lister.
Right, right, yeah.
And the early Iron Man comics turned into A-list prices.
Right.
So it's a different paradigm. It's a different world we live in now, where comic values now are decided by almost like, you know, by people that don't even know yet that they want that comic.
Right, right.
And they're going to go see a movie and go, holy crap, man. And then there's a certain percentage of them that will filter down into, you know, I want to own a piece of history of this character, and I want to own the first appearance of this character.
Yep.
And so, you know, with this FF52, with, you know, Ant-Man, there's still a thing to be played out to see how that movie works, to see how that friend – is it going to pull an Iron Man, or is it going to pull a Punisher?
Right, right, right. Well, I think – right, and I think that the thing with Ant-Man, though, is it is part of that Marvel universe where they want to try to tie everything in with it. However, Ant-Man's a little bit of an anomaly, because Ant-Man was started like 10 years ago, and it was going to be directed by one person, and then they left the movie, and then
much up and down hype
with that particular one. Film. It's not. Quite, it wasn't meant to be part of the whole phase two or phase three that we're in now with everything else. It was meant to be sort of a one-off.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about Ant-Man.
Mm.
And I'm going to tell you
Hank Pym.
Why Ant-Man is tricky is because in the Marvel Universe, there is no more central a character than Hank Pym. Hank Pym has his fingers in everything in the canon of Marvel.
Yeah.
Hank Pym is the connection to the FF. He's the connection to the Avengers. He's the connection to, you name it, Hank Pym. And I think what Marvel, Disney, a la, you know, whatever, started seeing when their kind of connected movies started really taking off.
Yeah.
And then they had signed this independent Ant-Man movie to
make. Right, right.
They go, wait a minute. we can't leave Hank Pym to like a one-off.
Yeah.
We got to tie Hank Pym because Hank Pym is more important than Reed Richards. He's more important than Peter Parker. Really, when you think about the canon of Marvel, Hank Pym is probably the central character in the whole Marvel universe.
Oh, I completely agree. And
so they got to do Hank Pym right.
But the problem with the Ant-Man movie, though, is that a lot of it is going to revolve around the new Ant-Man, which is Scott Lang.
Right, but Hank Pym is in there.
Right, he is. Yeah. He is.
And And I understand the Scott Lang, and I understand that, but Hank Pym is in there. And in that movie, they have to connect Hank Pym to all the other movies.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
All right, so did we answer what's her name?
His name is Mel.
Mel?
Mel.
And I think maybe at some point we may have touched on what he was maybe looking for.
Right. All right. That's fair.
Hey, Mel. Yeah. Anytime, pal.
Hope
we helped you out.
All right, let's go back to industry news here for a minute.
All right.
Now, I want to talk about everything that's happening in comics right now. So it's not really industry news, but I want to talk about what's happening in Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
I've been keeping up on the Secret Wars
and
the Convergence that's happening in DC. And it's very strange. That's the only thing that's the best way I can describe it. Now, Convergence is finished now. Mm-hmm.
Convergence is DC.
Convergence was DC, mm-hmm. and that was an 8-issue miniseries that came out weekly for 2 months.
Right.
Okay. So, now, we have, up to that point, we had the regular DC universe, which was then scrapped, and they came out with DC New 52.
The New 52.
Then, from the New 52, we had Convergence, and with Convergence, we have... So, the New 52 was meant to be a starting on point. It was supposed to be, you know, forget about everything with the DC universe. It was
forget about it.
Everything's brand new, so you can start on, and all these characters are brand new. DC, I think they realized it was not the best choice to make.
Right.
Okay? So then...
Why not?
What's that?
Why not?
Because it pissed off too many people, too many old comic collectors, guys like you and me, who say
screw us guys.
Yeah, but
who
you know what?
Us?
Because we're still buying a lot of comics.
Yeah, I guess.
Right. We're still buying a lot of comics. So we go ahead and they have the New 52, and with this New 52, of course, not only did they get rid of the old universe of the old, but they also got rid of the old canon. So they got rid of the multi-universe. They got rid of like the Jay Garricks from the Golden Age. They got rid of like all those, you know, the Westerns and the Lobos, and they got rid of all that stuff. So now I'm a bit jaded here because
jaded.
I heard some rumors about this whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So with DC moving out to
California,
apparently. I might have some of the story wrong, so don't quote me on this. But apparently, part of it was, I guess California has their own laws about who gets to be hired on and how they can hire people, and they have to hire people who are living in that state or something like that.
Right.
So I guess they couldn't just bring over everybody that was currently writing for them in New York.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't just bring them over to California. Apparently, there was a 2-month waiting period before they were allowed to rehire them again.
Wow.
So this 2-month waiting period, they had to hire freelance writers.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden they come up with Convergence, which is 2 months long.
Right.
It's 8 issues,
uh-huh.
and they come up with this giant thing. And by the end of – now, that was sort of – I think it was an idea where they could – it was – they needed to somehow come up with an idea that they could – a story plan where not all the regular writers were writing for those 2 months, and that by the same time they could have a new idea.
Right.
So this Convergence comes out, and now at the end of Convergence, all the multi-universes are back.
Well, wait a minute, though.
So, and they're going back to before, it's said in the book, before the original Crisis.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
I got a question.
What's your question?
I got to ask this for you.
Okay.
So,
ask me.
Did the writers in New York know that the writers in California, those surfer dudes, those bums, those whoever they are, we're going to mess everything up.
I don't know.
The writers in New York thinking, oh, you know, I'm on detective number 39, and when I get over to New York, California, I'll be on detective number 41 in this new 52 universe.
Right.
And then they get over, and they got a bunch of these surfer dudes writing something really weird.
I think it was only for 2 months where they just weren't allowed to hire those people who were...
I know, but it seems drastic that in those 2 months, it seems... Okay, we got all these guys writing new 52 for 40 issues.
Yeah.
And then because we can't hire for 2 months, we're just going to get these guys off the beach.
A whole bunch of freelance guys.
And they're just going to write whatever the heck they want and just ruin everything.
Yep.
And then we're going to get the guys from New York back in here after 2 months. And what the hell are they going to do?
I think it was still part of the plan for Dan Didio, whatever his
Dan
name
Didio.
Is. Dan Didio. I mean, him and Jim Lee.
We got to get him on the show, by the way, Dan. He'll explain it.
I think he still had the grand scheme of everything. Mm-hmm. Because I think part of the problem is, I think DC also realized that, and then in this part, it's a very good realization that the DC universe is too big.
Right.
It's too big, and if they kill it off, they're going to piss off too many people.
Yeah.
But it's too big, so you know what? Screw continuity.
Right.
So now you're going to have all these books coming out from, you know, Golden Age characters, Western characters, Space Age characters, you know, all these different characters from all these different universes. And you know what? DC now gets to print whatever they want and not worry too much about the whole continuity
issue.
Okay,
but my point was this. Why can't you continue with the New 52 as your core brand and then do whatever the hell you want outside of it?
And I think that's what they're going to do. Oh. I think part of
sounds
it
sounds like a good idea to
well,
me.
Well, I think part of it is they are going to continue with some of the new 52,
mm-hmm.
and then they're also
going to like Schneider and Batman should keep going the way they're going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you can't touch that. That is amazing.
No, I agree. John K. Snyder and Greg Capullo, awesome on Batman,
mm-hmm.
right? But at the same time, if somebody wants to come in and do a story that is from, you know, with Jay Garrick as the Flash,
right.
now they can do that. Whereas before they couldn't.
Right. I got
right?
It.
So
I got it.
There's all these different convergences and all these different universes that are now open again. Because basically, and one of the lines was, they're going back towards before it was the original Crisis. And I think mm-hmm. I think they're talking about Crisis on Infinite Earths, mm-hmm. which happened back in like 1985 or whatever
it was.
So I think that's what they're talking about.
Okay. Okay, what's going on with Marvel?
Marvel Secret War is a completely different ballgame.
In better shape or worse shape with their...
I want to say better, only mm-hmm. because, man, you know what? As interesting as Convergence was, terrible, terrible writing.
Right.
Terrible writing. I thought I didn't understand a single character for the first 5 books. I didn't know what was going on. Plowed through it. Finally, by the end, I kind of understood the whole concept. Marvel Secret Wars with Jonathan Hickman, however, is doing very well.
Right.
The first 2 issues came out already. The 3rd issue came out today. I don't want to spoil it, but the first 2 issues were great. But what's happening now is they're kind of doing the same idea, but it's a little bit different. So
it's the same, but it's different.
Well, so when the original Secret Wars took place on a planet or a island or whatever
planet
you want to call
Hulk.
It, called Battle World, right? So when the Beyonder decided to come up and grab all these different characters, all these villains and all these heroes, and they put it on this place called Battle World, right? And so that's where the big battle took place.
Uh-huh.
And they're basically now there's another Battle World, there's another Secret Wars happening, but instead of just those two, instead of just villains and heroes coming up, it's villains and heroes from all the different universes. So you got the Ultimate Universe, and you've got the Marvel 616, which is the universe that we're aware of now, like the general universe. So all these different universes.
Star Comics?
It might show up eventually. Yeah. You never know. But what's interesting, so like for example, the zombie universe, the Marvel Zombies, that's its own, like they have their own thing there.
Okay.
So all these potential universes, and I think they're making up a bunch as well, because I think there was like a MODOK universe or something like that too.
Yeah.
So I think they're making stuff up as well. But they're having fun with it, and mm-hmm. it's a really fun read because now there's Battle World comics. I've recently read the first issue of Battle World, and it was kind of like a what if where the Punisher was possessed by Doctor Strange.
Oh.
So and he's fighting all these kind of like
with
you know,
a gun,
yeah, kind of right. Like so, it's fun. It's interesting. So it's a really great book. I'm really enjoying the Secret Wars, and I'm really enjoying everything that's revolving around.
So you're. Prognosis,
prognosis,
your overall review. you think that these big events, these big summer events, Marvel is doing a bit of a better job?
As far as these two, uh-huh. yes, Marvel's doing a better job for sure. But one of the things that I don't quite understand is where they're going to end up going with all this. Because right now they have Planet Hulk and they've got A-Force, I think it's called, or something like that, where it's all the female Avengers. And they've got all these different...
A-Force.
I think that's what it's called, something like that. I don't remember. But they've got Planet Hulk, where Captain America's fighting Hulk on it. And it's all these different crazy kind of things that are happening in the Marvel Universe. But they're able to do it because it's all meant to be in the multi-universe of this battle world.
Right on. All right. Well, hey, listen. You know a great place to go to check all that out is?
What's that?
Your local comic
book shop. Oh, that's a great idea.
So head into your local comic book shop and check out. What's the DC thing?
So called? DC is Convergence.
And what's the?
Secret Wars. Yes, from Marvel Universe.
Marvel Universe. So, awesome.
Let's have a quick musical interlude here, and then we're going to wrap the show up. What do you got for us there, Shecky?
Oh, it's an oldie but a favorite.
Oh, I like oldies but favorites. All right, let's hear what you got for us.
Aquaman, no one greater than Aquaman, king of Atlantis, king of the sea, where the danger is, that's where he'll be, always defending you, yeah, you and me. Can always depend on mankind's truest friend, Aquaman.
Chris, it's like I'm out at sea.
I know, right? You gotta love that little Aquaman ditty.
Love Aquaman.
All right, what do we got up next?
Do we have a sponsor? Do we have
a
end of show sponsor?
You know what? It's Niagara Falls Comic Con. I'm going to tell you that, okay?
Oh, those guys, they really stepped up.
But they couldn't come up with what else it was, so I think it's just Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Right, Niagara Falls Comic Con.
We'll see you on the weekend.
The place That's to fair. Go this weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, guys, I have to ask you guys, did you guys see the Avengers movie?
I did.
We're a little late with our show, but, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's great. Yeah? You're going to love it. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, is it good for comics? Was it good? Is it good? Did it deliver?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Now, there are some people that – now, okay. You know what? I'm going to let Shecky start off with this one because I'll tell you my opinion after this. What did you think of it?
Okay, well, everyone has to remember – I am not deeply enthralled into the comic book world. When Chris was talking about Convergence and
we can tell,
and the wars that are going on there with Marvel, I'm not an avid regular reader.
Right.
So I pick up my bits of information from other people who are, such as
you're
Chris.
You're just a professional radio producer. What do you know about comics?
I don't know about
what
that.
What do you know from comics?
I don't know about
what
that first
know from
word
comics?
There. But, so I learn as much as I can from the movies, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's one of those age-old things, you know, even since the first X-Men movie and Spider-Man movie where, the movie doesn't do the books justice because it kind of trims off a little bit of detail here and it cuts and it changes an ending here. But in terms of just entertainment value, I was very entertained.
Yep.
It's great. They've got such a star-studded cast, you know, in that film. The new characters they brought on were equally as vital as important.
Was it too busy?
It was pretty busy, but the first movie had so much action. You really, a sequel has to amp up and match and then exceed the amount of action in the first. If Arnold Schwarzenegger's taught me anything, it's that it needs more action, needs more explosions,
action.
You know, needs more money on the effects, and then apparently you make more money. And
I
believe
because you have to turn an action movie into an action adventure
movie.
So. Yeah, continue.
So I agree. I mean, you know what? It ramped things up a bit.
Uh-huh.
But what I didn't like, and I found out later, I did some reading, and I understand now why. What I didn't like was when I was watching it, it felt like it was a little bit disjointed in some spots. Uh-huh. Like, I felt like I was watching some things and I thought, well, why is this character doing this now? And I don't understand what happened there. And, well, it turns out that the original movie was supposed to be about 3 hours long. And they decided to cut about 45 minutes out
right,
of it.
I did hear something like that, too. Yeah.
So, and that makes, that now makes sense, because there were some scenes where I thought, I was watching things and I'm like, I don't, what the heck, where did that come from?
Oh.
And
you know what that means, eh?
What's that?
2 years from now, a director's cut.
Well, they've already announced that.
Say two minutes from now, a director's cut.
Yeah, they've already announced that in the Blu-ray, there's going to be a director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
I also found out that apparently, so there's a this is a spoiler alert. So
spoiler alert.
There's a scene with Thor. There's a scene with Thor that kind of seems like it was just thrown in, right? And apparently that scene was meant to be the end credits, like, sort of, you know, Easter egg kind of scene, right? Ah. So, but apparently the producers made them put it into the bulk of the movie when it wasn't really supposed to be in there, but they wanted to have Thor have more
Thor.
More Thor in the movie, yeah. Ah. So they made Joss Whedon put it in there, and he didn't want to do
it.
It's like
Malkin and Crosby, they can't get you. They got to watch the ice time. They got to have equal ice time, you know. So Thor and Cap, Thor can't. Hey, I got 8 minutes. Cap got 11. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Sure, right.
You
got
to keep your staff happy. You know?
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
Wow.
And apparently, they filmed filmed or animated, whatever you want to call it, a Hulk scene that was apparently the producer said it was too good and has to go into the next Avengers movie.
Kid,
wow.
Yeah. So apparently they filmed the whole thing, and it was meant to be like the end-all be-all of Hulk scenes, and they're like, nope, this is too good. We're going to keep it for the next one.
That sucks.
Isn't that brutal?
So yeah, they got to rewrite the other one right around that scene.
Yeah.
See, and I assume, like, you know, this is getting a little off topic, but I assume musicians do that all the time.
Yeah.
It's like they could have one really killer album, but instead it's like, you know what? I've got the material for two good albums.
Yeah.
I'll split it and create 10 filler tracks and spread them amongst the two.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to work for a year. I'm going
to
Miami.
So they're just mediocre now? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I get it. Wow.
So I really liked the movie, but after watching, I thought, you know, there were scenes there that I thought, wow, where did that come from? And I don't understand what happened there. And, you know, and there was a lot to watch, and I do want to see it again, but I still enjoyed it. I still thought it was great. Looking back on it, I don't think it was quite as good as the first one as a complete whole story.
Right.
But I still enjoyed it.
Okay. All right. So what do we have on the horizon then for what's the next? Is it Ant-Man?
So Ant-Man's the next one.
Uh-huh.
And then I believe after that there's supposed to be a Thor like trailer, like a clip kind of thing that was supposed to be at the very, very end of the credits that didn't happen. And I think that Thor is the next one, and that's going to be Thor Ragnarok. And that's
Ragnarok.
Basically now we're going to have the whole Asgardian universe is going to blow up.
Nice.
And there's going to be, like, you know, death and destruction and all that kind of
thing. Right. That's not coming out in this fall.
No. I don't think it happens till next year or something like that.
Okay, but
so
next
Ant-Man
year.
Is next.
But I know that this is a very light summer for superhero films. I know that next year and the year after are getting much busier.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember because I'm not looking at the calendar or anything. But because next year you've got the next Captain America movie, which is what is that supposed to then catapult
Civil War?
Yeah, and then it catapults into the third Avengers film. I thought the third Avengers film was Civil War.
No, it's Captain. I believe it's. Oh, is it? I don't remember now.
See, there's so many movies in 2016 and 2017 coming out that they're all coming up with that next conglomerate of the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But this summer, other than Avengers 2 and Ant-Man, I think it's really soft. It's really soft. And that's also next summer is when the Superman Batman movie comes out.
Right.
So now DC really ramps up their whole universe as well.
Wow. So Marvel's soft.
Well, they're both soft this summer.
Soft.
I think
it's
that
a
they,
soft, summer.
Soft summer.
I think they put most of their wads into the TV franchise that they started up.
They blew their whole
years.
Wads
yeah.
in the TV.
Okay. So hold on. So we've got in 2015, we've got Ant-Man. Now, Fantastic Four comes out as well, but that's not...
Okay. That's
not
Fox.
That's Fox.
But okay, so the reboot. I knew there was something else, though.
Right.
Then we've got Deadpool coming out in 2016.
That's
then
Fox, too, right?
That's also Fox. Uh-huh. Then we've got Captain America Civil War.
Right.
Then
wait, the 2016?
The 2016, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Then we've got X-Men Apocalypse. Gambit, and then the next Marvel movie is Doctor Strange. So we've got Captain America and Doctor Strange in 2016.
See, that's tons of movies.
And then in 2017, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then Thor Ragnarok. That's the two big Marvel movies.
Ah.
And then after that, we've got Avengers Infinity War, not Civil War.
That's
Infinity
right,
War,
Infinity War.
Then Black
Panther. With the Infinity Gauntlet.
Right. And then Black Panther, then Captain Marvel, and then Avengers Infinity War Part 2, and then Inhumans.
Right on.
So, I feel like you're reading that somewhere.
I did, in fact, read that.
Luckily, the listeners don't have to wait till 2016 or 17 for our next show.
No.
They only have to wait one more week.
Craziness.
Because we'll deliver the high level of entertainment that we delivered this week. we'll come back at you next week, mm-hmm. So without fail. So thanks for listening. How do I usually end the show? You've been listening to CF... No, you've been listening to Comic Culture
on
CFMU McMaster Radio and... GetThePointRadio.com and ComicBookDaily.com. Please go to ComicBookDaily.com, click on the podcast link, scroll down, and add some comments on the comments field. And over to you, Chris.
And please go out and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.
And see everyone at the NAGRA Comic Con.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.